I'm sure you know there are many statements of Jesus that starts with I am. This I am is a self-explanatory statement, even in the Old Testament, showing who God is. That He alone is the Alpha and Omega of everything, and just the statement itself of I am is enough to portray who God is. And Jesus in the New Testament also uses this phrase, I am. I'm sure you are aware of many, including, I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection, shepherd, way, bread, and so forth. And these statements that is telling his people who Jesus is, but at the same time, it shows the relationship between Jesus and his people. He's just not saying, I am the way, to say he is the way, but to show the way. He's not just saying, I am the bread of life, to say he is, but how he is the bread of life in us. An essential part of our life, as one will consider bread, food. So for singles here, when someone you like says, I'm free, one is not just saying, I have a lot of time, but I would want to spend time with you, right? Jesus presents himself in a different manner so that we can relate to him and actually have a relationship. As we get older, the spectrum of people we meet might get lessened, but there are people whom I want to connect and learn from. I really wanted to meet these couple of famous people that I had massive influence on me, two scholars. So I emailed two people, said, I really wanted to meet you, I want to meet you, and basically said, I'm willing to buy you anything, any food, any restaurant of your choice, you know, anything you want to eat. And why did I do that? It's because I want to connect and to learn from them. And these were pretty famous people, and they were not persuaded by the food offer. I will try again when I have more money and influence later on, but I failed for now. However, Jesus continues to try to connect to his people in different capacity. He's out in the street meeting people. He's preaching to the people. He's sharing meals. He counsels them and more. So when Jesus is saying, I am divine, it is the ultimate sign to us that he wants to connect and connect to us. He gives the reason for that in the chapter before. In chapter 14, he says, if you love me, keep my commands. And he says, when he is gone, he will give another advocate, the Holy Spirit, so that it is foreshadowing his death, but promising that he will never leave us as orphans. And through this Holy Spirit, I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And this Holy Spirit will keep us in the relationship. So when Jesus is saying, if you love me, keep my commandment, it explicitly is saying, you will be able to love and keep my commands if you are in union with me through the Holy Spirit. Why do we need this union to love Jesus and keep his command? Calvin's Institute Religion Book 2, Chapter 1 says, but if we are all sinners, if we are destitute of true righteousness, we are unable to conceive of any pious thought, far less form any right plan of action, unless we have renewed by the grace of the Holy Spirit. What can we do but to look to God's mercy alone, confessing that all the good that is in us come from Him? So Calvin is saying, we are sinners incapable of doing anything good on our own. Even the smallest good that comes out of us is from God. And this loving Christ in keeping his commands and the work of Holy Spirit who kept all of this together in one. But how does this work? And that is the explanation in the passage we read today. This is where chapter 15 begins. How does this thing work? All in union. Everything is provided for. Everything we do is through God. How does this work? And it's explained in chapter 15. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And this is showing how exactly loving Christ, keeping His commands and word of Holy Spirit comes to union. That this shows not only through the true vine and its connection to it, but is the way of union. The Father, the God, the gardener, does connect us to the branch, to the true vine. Why does Jesus use a metaphor like this in using the vine and branches? In horticulture, this often does happen, where one plant is grafted onto the another one. How do you do this? You cut open the donor plant, and you put in to the cut the receiving branch, and you tape it up. Then it receives the nutrition that is needed to revive. Well, if you don't get that, you know, what is the most important thing in position in your position today? What is the most important thing? I think it's our cell phone, right? It now carries the infinite information about the world, and we can acquire through it. I mean, talk about everything: finances, credit cards, keys, picture books, you name it, it's all in there. I mean, I can't live without my wife. It is the way of us connecting to the world. But we have to remember, all the connecting is possible to the power that is provided by the electricity. Without electricity, we'll be lost. When I was in England, there was this fuss about this place in Scotland where the scene from the Skyfall James Bond movie was filmed. And this guy who went before me was cautioning me to do a couple things beforehand before I go there, because it's out in nowhere. And he said, make sure to have your Google Map on 30 minutes before, because that the region, it has no reception. If you turn it on 30 minutes beforehand, you still have the satellite connected to it. So even though there's no reception, you can still find the place. I mean, that kind of spooked me out, you know, that you have to turn on your reception 30 minutes before. And I did exactly as he said, and while going there, the reception was gone, and we were sorely relying on Google Maps and the satellite, and it was the scariest thing ever. We are going into a place where there's no car for 30 minutes, into one-way street without payments, and you can literally see cliffs in the side of your eyes. And I was thinking, if in any way my car dies, my phone dies, then I'll die in there as well. And the passage from the Bible, even though I walk through the valley of death, I need my phone charged. And exactly like this, we're in this world where we need a connection that will not only guide us, but it will empower us. And this vine and the connection to it is the ultimate source of what this union will provide. That is why Jesus emphasized many times in this chapter the importance of this union. In verse 4 it says, remain in me and as I also in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So the key is remaining in Jesus the vine. Unless to remain in Him, it is not possible for anyone to bear fruit and do nothing. And through the message today, I want to get these two misconceptions out of the way before we get to the conclusion. And one of the misconceptions of life we live, and we quickly go through a couple. First is problem of thinking that we are able to produce food or good work. That we can do something. That is the problem of us today, is that we do understand through the Christ and His work on the cross that salvation is from God and grace only. So we do understand that apart from Christ, we have no salvation. But we limit God's grace through only salvation. And that is the problem for the churches today, I believe. Now that I'm saved, rest is up to me. Now I mean, God gave me salvation. Rest, I need to do it. And Apostle Paul in Galatians 3:3 says, "Are you so foolish?" he says. "After beginning by means of spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" It is saying, everything starts with spirit, and it will be finished and done by spirit. Not by you. If you think otherwise, you are foolish. And reformers believe that all actions which done according to God's commandment, motivated by faith in Jesus, and done for the glory of God. Furthermore, they believe that good works were the fruit of genuine faith, that they were necessary in the Christian life as the evidence of a person's salvation. Nothing more. But today, we are so into producing our good work, bragging about, having pride in good work. Good works were not a way to earn salvation, but rather it's an important aspect of this Christian life that demonstrates the presence of true faith. So this work, keeping commandments, are extension of salvation we have in Christ, and that this salvation has brought about us being a branch that is connected to the true vine, Christ, that even this good work is work of Christ. People often got this wrong in the history as well. I'm sure you heard of him. He was one of the famous scholar and theologian in 1500s, living with Luther and fighting with Luther on Reformation, said that Christ is an example for us that we need to imitate. Let me say that again. Christ is an example for us to follow. So Erasmus's focus is that we need to imitate Christ. It sounds right, but it's fundamentally different. Even following or imitating Christ is not something we can do or follow, but by being in Christ, His work of salvation and work on the cross, it comes from that, not from us. So we have to understand that even the little part that makes us do good work is not out of us, but the Christ work in us. Second misconception or second mistake we tend to make is that the fruit is the good work. Fruit is the good work. But fruit is life. Some people mistakenly take that bearing fruit is having good work. That good work is through my good action. Rather, it is not. We forget that we are not able to produce good work outside of Christ and His Spirit. We've said that before, right? But, you know, some might say, oh, isn't that too extreme? Sometimes I do good work with, you know, good actions here and there. You know, I helped out a poor man in the subway today. I didn't. I'm just saying an example. I was kind to someone who was not nice to me. I forgave someone who has done me wrong. I mean, you could think of what are some things that I do right this week. To tell you the truth, I don't remember. I don't remember meeting anyone. I was just home teaching. Yeah, I think I smiled at my doorman. And that's about the good work I've done this week. But Reformed theologians and Romans talk about the state of man who are born with sinful nature and are unable to do anything truly good on our own. Because the sin has affected every aspect of human nature, mind, soul, and will, emotion, and etc. So if any good work comes out of a person, it is ultimately not ours. but a result of God's grace and Holy Spirit in our lives, not on merit. So when we talk about grace, we don't start with grace, but we start out with sin and its effect on our lives. And Calvin calls this total depravity. In short, man with his faculties, whatever, is plunged into destruction and is, it were, lost until he comes to the knowledge of the true God, thereby to the knowledge of himself. So when we are connected, it's not about doing good, but we are receiving what? We are in a simple state, which is death. So we're not just receiving anything. When we are with him, we are receiving life. It is resuscitating us. He has become out of all things, providing us through our connection. But most of all, he was giving us a new life in Christ. That's what, you know, people in the medieval era got wrong. They thought sin was a status. So what do you do if you're dirty? Say sin is dirty. You wash up, right? That's how the conception of sin was during the before medieval era. And what Luther, after studying Romans, he said, oh, that's not a status. It is who we are. We are death. And that's why we need life in Christ. It's like a bond between parents and a child. You know, they would give us everything for the, you know, child, even their life. And I have been the recipient of my love, the love of my parents that consistently care for my needs. And it says in Matthew 7:9-12, which of you, if you, your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So what about the people who are with him in union? We also see this in the parable of prodigal son, where the son is disconnected with the father for a while. The son left father with his inheritance, and he squandered his wealth. And he says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants had food to spare, and here I am starving to, what? Death, he says, death. Then he realized the true prize was not the inheritance, but the father himself. And he reconnected with him, and everything is restored. And the other son who was unfaithful was pissed that the brother, prodigal son, was welcomed back again. And the father said, you are always with me. And everything I have is yours. And this is the key. He says, but we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was what? Dead. He was dead. And alive again. So this connection we're talking about, it's not just providing us good work. It's providing us with life. And this connection from the Lord is death. So we often, you know, confine it to, you know, this connection to good work. And say, oh, you know, we have to do good because we are in Christ. No. God gave us life because we are dead. Through this connection. And it's a lot more than good work. And this is the importance of our connection that produces not only good work, but life. I'm home these days because I teach online to the seminary stories in Korea, and I'm working on a book edit that is due next month. And in the free time, I got hooked to this program in Netflix called Terrace House. It's a Japanese program. I'm Korean, but, you know, like, I got hooked to it. And then, you know, I can't stop watching it. And, you know, it's a program where six people, half men, half women, live in a house, and they observe him. And the funniest thing is that in the middle, a 6-7 panel comes out, And they're really critical of, you know, these participants' behavior, you know. And, you know, let me tell you, it is so funny. You know, they're speaking in Japanese. I don't know a word in Japanese, and it's still funny with the, you know, subtitles. So I'll keep watching it. And it got me really drawn. And I was keep watching it. You know, and I was getting really frustrated with the participants and sympathizing with the panel and their criticisms. And most recent season I was watching, but suddenly it stopped. And I thought it was due to COVID, but later on I found out that it was canceled due to one girl taking her life because of all those criticisms she got. And that moment it really hit me hard that even though I didn't write anything on her Instagram, or, you know, or anything online, I knew that I was on the same page with the rest of the panel criticizing her. It's really important where you're connected and what you're connected to. And that is why the passage is saying, I'm the vine and you are the branches. And if you remain in me, I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from you, me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain me, you are not a branch. You're nothing. You remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withered. And such branches are picked up, thrown into fire and burned. Without being with the vine, I can truly produce anything, it says. And I like to conclude with, you know, then how do we produce fruit? And what is fruit? In the beginning, we said fruit is connected with his command. And Jesus says in verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Just as Christ opened up his body on the cross, so that on the tree of cross we are able to be his branch. Just like he opened up his wounds so that we are no longer sinner when we are abiding in him. Just like that through Jesus, as an instrument, we have to open up so that what Jesus is giving to us may transfer to those around us. So as we said, when we are connected to Christ, we live life. And we open up ourselves so that, you know, may the connection from the Christ be transferred to whoever we are connected to. And that is keeping commandments. And that is loving people. And that is giving life. It is obvious in our life too. You know, when you are with negative people, it feeds into, you know, us. When we are with people who are not good influence to us, we feed off that too. But at the same time, we can be able to see what Christ has done in our lives, you know, and share that grace, and we are able to work as an instrument of God and his peace. You know, I went out with a friend and a mentor of mine a few weeks ago, and I love hanging around with that guy and his family because the manner in which he's able to give me such a vibe that is so refreshing. You know, I learned so much by just hanging around with him. And when I come home after meeting the guy and his wife, two things come to my mind. First, I'm really thankful for having somebody like him in my life. But it does not end there. It goes further. He says, I want to become someone out there like him in my life. Providing that kind of good energy, good vibe. Most of all, grace, and ultimately, life. So when I receive this love, advice, fun time, food, whatever that may be, you know, I just don't keep it to myself, but I get the urge to do the same for other people. With all Christ giving us, being the vine that provides us with the life and more, we are abundant people where we have so much to share. When I look at my life through the grace of God and His Spirit, I'm able to give to people much more than I have. I'm refilled through this connection to Christ, and you have that in you as well. I have one more sermon next week before Pastor Sam comes back, but I hope that you will invite me again with my wife. I'll definitely come and say hi. But what I heard and seen in this church has been nothing short of miracle. Whereas so many churches closed during COVID, And those who survived went down 50 to 75% minimum. My friend from Philadelphia, my old church, he's doing an English ministry there. Before COVID, it was 200 people. Now it's around 100 to 120 people. And what I hear from Pastor Sam and Elder Tom is great and hopeful. That this church is not only, survive, but I know that through Christ that it will thrive. And I believe you are intact with Christ through His church. And I believe if we can be able to reconnect the people in our community, and if we are able to once again hold on to Christ the vine, I believe this church will not only receive God's grace, but it will spread God's grace through our tree and our connection. I've read that in a writing, in these branches that are separated, that might look dead, but if it is reconnected, and they do this by taping on it, like I said, it revives again. And through COVID or whatever it may be, there are people, fruits, branches, waiting to be connected, not only to us, but to Christ again. And hopefully, we can be able to share what we have been receiving. And my prayer is to you today is that may God nourish us daily with His union, and may God nourish different people around us through our union and through our church's union and union with them. Let us pray.